It has been a long time since I last used English to speak on stage. Brian, sister, good morning. Let's pray. Let us 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 pray. Let 心中的意念都能得到你的悦纳，将祷告是奉我主耶稣基督的圣名而求的，阿门。While scheduling the sermon series for 2019, Reverend 小辉，where's Reverend 小辉 ？Reverend 小辉 sent me a text to ask if I could share a message during the bilingual service in October this year.I was initially hesitant. All the more so when he mentioned that the message was to be based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm sure most of us will be very familiar with the chapter on love. Elder Yok Cheng, I was hesitant actually, and I pray about it, but Elder Yok Cheng sent me a message that convinced me to be on stage today.At first look, love seems to be a notion we all understand. However, as I read deeper and more intensely into the scripture, I realized that the love Jesus displays is far more, it's much more far-reaching, different from our conventional understanding of love. The message this morning I'm sharing with you is,unending love, or a love that has full extent. In John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And this word was mentioned just before Jesus left this world and go back to the Father. The word love appears in the NIV Bible,a total of 681 times. And this is a testament to how much God emphasized love. In the church rhetoric, the word love is often spoken and heard. I'm sure you use it very often. And perhaps everyone is also well-versed with the description of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. However,for us to understand the connotations behind what Paul has written is not as easy. I find it difficult too. I consulted the Reverend. They told me it's not easy. Paul clearly states that in chapter 13, verse 12. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known.Hence, my message this morning will focus on just love. You'll hear this word many, many times in my message. While we all may have different definition and expression of love, what is certain is that when Paul wrote to the people of Corinthian city, who had many problems at that time, the advice and definition of love in his letter transformed their lives. Christians believe God is love. And this love can mean certain expectations based on various behaviors, ideas, and definition. In fact, such notion of love have over time been equated to the God we believe in.Without such self-perceived definition of love, and with certain expressed behavior, we do not accept that as love as Christian. However, we must understand that while God is love, it does not mean that love equates to God. The Bible does not directly specifies such a description. No doubt, God is love, and He loves us. But what is love? Theologians and philosophers offer their various definitions of love. When we speak of Confucianism, we think of interpersonal love, a love of humaneness and kindness between you and I, which Confucius so frequently referred to in his teaching. First and foremost, Confucius emphasized love for one's parent, love for one's relatives, love for friends and strangers, and lastly, unto other things. The love embodies the essence of Chinese culture, a culture of humaneness. It is common in our culture, especially the older generations, where we advocate such benevolence and humaneness as Confucianism. Its teachings are indelibly part of our upbringing and personhood. Now, Buddhism speaks of a compassionate love, and this love is manifestation of one's morality and temperance. Taoism, on the other hand, speaks of Tao, which is the path, and Te, which is inherent characters or virtue. In that sense, one virtue is an outward display of Te, one who is on the path, and in it, there are teachings of love. While I have not researched further into this religions, it is clear that they all do talk about love, and love isn't just exclusive to Christian. So how do we look at and talk about Jesus' love? How is his love different from other types of love? And what exactly is love? The difference lies in the fact that his love is utmost complete. There is no reservation or holding back. His love has no in-between, halfways, or signs of half-heartedness. So great is his love that I am not lost for words as to how to describe it. But this love is exactly what Paul captures so beautifully. So let's take a look at the scripture. Next slide, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 13. 读华文的请看语幕。 Verse 13. If I speak in the tongue of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have a faith that can move mountain, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Next slide, please. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Next slide. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now, next slide. Yeah. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Just before this, Paul talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit in chapter 12. And in chapter 14, he shares about how to use this gift. We sometimes mix up gift of the Holy Spirit with talent and skill. And we need to be careful. But it is a subject for another day. Between those two chapters, in chapter 13, he talks about how love is the greatest enabler of gift among faith, love, and hope. These gifts are bestowed by the Holy Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determined. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. And are to be used according to the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Hence, if one does not have love and is not enabled, these gifts are lost, and he will not be able to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, more often than not, we pay attention to verses 4 to 7 and do not pay heed to the verses 1 to 3. As we tend to focus on the description of love. However, the premise of Paul's message is in verses 1 to 3, where, as he points out, even if we carry out various acts of speaking in miraculous tongues, of prophesying, and of giving to the poor, it does not amount to anything without love. Paul is critical of these highly visible and public acts. And if they are accomplished without love, and merely for others to see goodness in you, these deeds will not be edifying nor life-changing. Essentially, these acts without love will not allow one to know Christ or deepen someone's faith. It will not build up a church according to Ephesians. In this sense, verses 4 to 7 is not just merely the definition of love, but the characteristics of love. What love is, what love is not, what it can and cannot do. Next, please. Next slide, please. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, when he said, God is love. God loved the sinner, but not the sin. This is not to say that this is a love that's just merely hovering or spoiled or attempting to keep on the right side of everyone. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. More importantly, love is built up based on righteousness. Love is essentially moving away from oneself, the me. Love is to allow him, Jesus Christ, influence our lives and the life of those around us. Love that comes from focus on me is selfish in nature. The focus should be on Him. Only then can we truly come to love in the way that God does. Therefore, a love that is unending or all-giving is one that arises from a denial of oneself unto others with Jesus at heart and is righteous. And because the love is about others and not oneself, it builds up the church and our surrounding. The word agape means the highest form of love and charity. While this word does not necessarily pertain to a godly love, Paul frequently used this term to refer to a love that is perfect and compassionate from God. In the New Testament, it appears 116 times, and Paul is using it a total of 75 times. Shows the importance of it. This love is a love that originates from God's holiness, and it is not a love which is conditional and requires reciprocation. For that, we have already received this love in our sin, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we always think of Jesus' sacrifice for us, we more often than not fail to realize that He has the authority. We are most familiar with Jesus' time in the wilderness, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, where He was tempted by Satan. Apart from being obedient to God, more importantly, we also see that He was a person with authority and yet was willing to give up His authority and not be tempted. In the wilderness, Satan directly challenged Jesus' holiness and authority. He reminded Jesus that He had the authority and power to turn mere stone into bread, to throw Himself down, and yet not have His feet strike the ground and be hurt. And even told Jesus to yield His authority. However, Jesus did not exercise His God-given authority. Unlike Adam, who under the guise of free will, we talk about a lot about free will these days. Yeah. The guise of free will gave in to the serpent temptation and ultimately went against God's covenant with him. Brother and sister in Christ, do you see it? To love God, to obey God, we can see it in Jesus. We can see it through Jesus, who first and foremost gave up His authority to exercise the power and personhood. His authority to exercise the power and personhood. He gave that up. Hence, the unending love is to give up one's own right and identity before God, to place God and His people above and before one's own self. Before Christ was nailed to the cross, and in that moment, according to Luke chapter 23, verse 34, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." In this instant, we are talking about the kind of love which is not what we have conventionally known. Rather, a love which far surpasses our own notion of love. A love which at its core is intertwined with God's mercy and a willingness to carry out His will. In the name of love, Jesus willingly gave up everything and even His life to shoulder our burden. It is not a love of mere words, but of action and conviction. N.T. Wright, the English New Testament scholar and once Bishop of Durham, he said, "Love is not our duty, it is our destination. Love is not our duty, it is our destination." We all know that it's no good simply telling people to love one another. One more exhortation in love, to patience, to forgiveness, may remind us of our duty. But as long as we think of it as a duty, we aren't really likely to do it. Love isn't an obligation nor responsibility. Neither is it just merely a virtue, but it is an end goal in itself. Because if love is an obligation, would that mean we would not need to love anymore the moment obligation has ended? The best description for husband and wife and parent and children. However, if love is our destination, that would mean we would spend our whole life living it, chasing it, so much so that it becomes a daily practice till the day we truly realize and understand Jesus' unending love. Therefore, the unending love is one who is willing to shoulder the burden with Jesus' love at heart. When Jesus became flesh and came among us, what did he truly want us to see? For the 33 years he was among us, in everything he did, Jesus wanted to let us understand how God wanted us to live. Jesus was born into an unremarkable home of a carpenter and a simple woman. The angel chose a shepherd to bring good news of great joy to the people. Here, I want to emphasize the shepherds were poor then, both materially and status-wise. They were looked down upon by the Jews and were barred from taking part in any religious-related activities. We often think that God just wanted us to focus on the fact that a king as Jesus came to us as a common person. But in actuality, we ignore the fact that it is only through these lowly and common people that we receive Jesus into our midst. That no matter who we are, Gentile or Jews, rich or poor, Jesus brings hope to us. Bring hope to us all, and even shown his favor unto the shepherd and a common village girl in Mary to show us that the love of Christ comes to each and every one of us. Hence, when we say we believe in Jesus, we have to be assured of his love and affirm his love and live up his love as an always ongoing destination in our daily practice. When we read the book of Matthew, I believe Jesus' living testimony, the life he has gone through, and his teaching will reverberate with us. Jesus spent his entire life preaching love and living love. Even to the unworthy, the evildoers, the greedy, the taxpayers, and women who ply the street for a living. When we look at how Jesus loved, we just need to be able to repent, and we'll naturally be able to experience his unending love. Hence, we experience Jesus' love, and knowing his unending love does not discriminate. Having established what God's love is like, we can revisit 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to take a deeper look at the message Paul is trying to convey. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to 12, Paul is beseeching the church in Corinthians to repent in harsh tone. When we look at his admonishment, we will not treat the notion of love lightly. In John chapter 6, verse 26 to 27, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaf and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Be it a preacher or a public figure, such a person is also likely to be afraid of offending the public or his or her audience. Jesus' teaching in his time was already viewed unfavorably upon by the Jewish leadership, so much so that they were itching to jump on any mistake in his life in order to execute him. This leader wielded great power and authority in their field, and yet were still afraid of killing Jesus blatantly because the public regarded him as a prophet. The logical thing for Jesus to do would be to refrain from offending this very same crowd which loved him and protected him. While feeding the crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, people came to him in earnestness, saw his power, and even asked of him to be king. And yet Jesus did a counterintuitive thing and admonished the crowd, asking them if they were here to see God's power or just merely to be fed. How easy it would have been for his word to infuriate the crowd which protected him. But that was exactly what the people needed to hear and what Jesus had to say. For them, they could only see material things in front of them and neglected to see that Jesus came to offer food for the soul, which is life, eternal life in itself. Jesus was willing to give heartfelt advice to the people at the risk of them turning against him. He did so because he wanted to bless the people. Jesus was giving and loving unconditionally and thought not about what might happen or could happen or what they felt in their hearts. It was entirely selfless. Therefore, unending love is to love without being calculative, without expecting rewards, and to share love sincerely with Jesus at heart. The church is unquestionably falling out of favor in these days and age. However, if we love God, do we not put ourselves forward, step out of our comfort zone to change the status quo in a positive and impactful manner? Unity does not mean we only accept one voice, one viewpoint, or one paradigm. Unity means to be one with God's will, and this requires united effort in open-minded thinking, many sharing, consideration, and finally, a decision. There is no shortcut. We must ask God to be with us in our journey of love, pray for his direction, and seek to be in his favor, not our favor. To give you an analogy, a group of tools were discussing how to cut up a piece of steel. The axe said, "My axe head has tremendous strength that can hack apart the steel." However, after just a few chops, the axe broke and it was of no more use after. The saw then said, "Oh, let me do it. I will use my razor sharp teeth to saw apart the steel." At last, after a while, the saw teeth became blunt. This time round, the hammer spoke. He said, "Let me do this." With force, the hammer struck a few blows at the piece of steel. The steel remained unchanged while the hammer's handle broke. And finally, the undistinguishing flame said, "Let me try, please." While the tools looked upon the flame in contempt, the steel in no time became red hot upon application of heat and melted down. There are many ways to address a hardened heart that's like steel. You can use corrective measures like the axe to hack it into shapes. Or you can use sharp criticism like the saw, or a heavy-handed approach like the hammer. But the best way to do so is to use God's way, which is through unending love, which is all unconditional and without reservation. A love so strong like flame that can soften hearts. A love that is born for Christ is inevitably different. Only when we place God first and when everything fades into the background can we then say that we truly belong to Him as He has promised. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." An unending love is a love that is one with Jesus. Jesus is love. And when we have Jesus in our hearts, only then can we really love from the bottom of our heart. And we will be willing to step forth without thoughts and willingly share with others. I'm learning too. Only if you understand the meaning of Jesus' love can we then have a full grasp of what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul associated well with Jesus. He knew that Jesus had done in his life. And it is exactly what Paul has preached on love. Hence, Paul is able to share the declaration confidently. As with how I began the message, next please, next slide. It is best we return to the final line of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. "And now these three remain: faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love." Now we will pray. 父神，我们会爱。 不是从个人的思维去考虑爱，而是通过上帝的意而给了我们的爱。也因为有上帝，你在我们心中，我们才能够真正体会到爱的意义。我们感谢你，奉我主耶稣基督的圣名求，阿门。让我们以这首诗歌来回应神的爱，你爱永不变。